Good morning, everyone. My name's Matt. As Rob has already said, I'm the curate down the road at St. Anne's Limehouse, and it's my pleasure to be with you this morning. And I'll read our passage in just a moment. Just to give you forewarning, it's on page 1186. We'll be reading the very last chunk of the letter to the Colossians, page 1186. But before I read that, let me ask you a question. Are you a polar bear or a penguin? Both are quite impressive animals, as I'm sure you would agree. Both can survive in extreme cold, but they both operate in quite different ways. Polar bears are lone rangers. They mostly hunt and roam around on their own. Penguins, on the other hand, are totally dependent on one another. They need each other, and they acknowledge that. You might have seen images of emperor penguins huddled together to protect one another from really harsh, icy winds. And they take it in turns to be the penguins on the outer edges of that huddle to bear the brunt of the really harsh winds. Now, whilst polar bears might seem more impressive, I have to say to us today that Christians are more like penguins. And we might tend to think of people like the Apostle Paul as being a bit of a polar bear figure. He's the one that wrote this letter. Maybe we think of him as a lone ranger, someone that travelled around from place to place, carrying out his impressive ministry. A bit of a hero who was strong enough to walk on his own. But that could not be further from the truth. The Apostle Paul is more of a penguin than a polar bear. And he signs off his letter at the very end, and we see that in his ministry he's surrounded by brothers and sisters in Christ, a holy huddle of support and encouragement. You'll probably be quite familiar with Colossians by now as you've been going through it for a while, but you might remember at the start of chapter 2, Paul states what he is striving for the Colossian church. He says that he wants the Colossians to grow in knowing Jesus, understanding Jesus, trusting Jesus. And he knows that's not going to happen unless they stick together, unless they knit together in love for one another. They cannot be independent Christians. They must be interdependent, supporting one another. And that means within the local church family. And it also means more widely, too. So let's see how Paul's final words in this letter show this knitting together in love. Let me read Colossians chapter 4 from verse 7 to the end, page 1186. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justus. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. And see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Now, when you say goodbye to someone that you've just been meeting with, are you the kind of person that says, send my love to so-and-so, or tell so-and-so that I said hi? There's someone in our church that always ends every conversation by saying, kiss your wife and children from me, which I think is nice. But how often do we remember to pass on those greetings to those people? But when phrases like that are sincere, they express something important, that our care extends beyond the person immediately in front of us. Now, Paul's greetings in this end of the letter, they're not empty formalities. You can imagine his co-workers hearing that he's writing to Colossae and them saying, oh, please send them my love, or please tell them that I'm praying for them. This letter itself is an expression of Christian love and encouragement between interconnected believers and churches. And Paul mentions a whole bunch of people by name, and I'm not going to go through all of them. But I want us to see that Paul's specific messages for that church in that time give general principles for all churches and all Christians. Firstly, stick together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, sticking together might sound simple and easy, but depending on who's involved, it can actually be a lot harder than we think. We naturally gravitate towards people who are like us, people that we like, and often that is people who are all very similar. But God's people are a whole mishmash of different people, including people we might not naturally get along with. One of the first people mentioned is Onesimus in verse 9. He's helping to deliver this letter to the Colossians. And as he's doing that, he's returning home to Colossae. And that return home might have been a bit awkward for him and for others, because Onesimus had been a slave or bonded servant in the household of Philemon, who was a member of that church. But Onesimus had become separated from him in circumstances that might have involved some wrongdoing or debt. We don't know all the details. But while Onesimus was away, he met Paul and became a Christian, which is great. But now Paul is sending him back to his home, carrying this letter and the letter to Philemon, which is another book of the Bible. But notice how Paul introduces him not by his social status or his past failures, but as our faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. Whatever had divided them before, belonging to Christ must now reshape their relationship with one another. They must receive one another and stick together as brothers in God's family. In God's family, rich and poor sit side by side, as do slaves and doctors. As we see, there's a doctor in this letter too. And so do Jews and Gentiles. Now, most of the earliest Christians were Jewish, as you might know. So Gentile believers might have felt like newcomers or outsiders within the church. But Paul's ministry team itself displays the unity that Jews and Gentiles have in Christ. You can see in verses 10 and 11 that Paul mentions three of his co-workers who send their greetings to Colossae, and he makes a point of mentioning that these are the only men of the circumcision among his fellow workers for the kingdom of God. Just three people in Paul's wider ministry team seem to be Jewish Christians, with the implication that all the others are Gentiles. And he wants the church to know that he has no issue sticking with his Gentile brothers and sisters. And he wants the church to be a place where Jews and Gentiles are equal. Earlier in his letter, in Colossians chapter 3, Paul writes, "Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. That is what it looks like to stick together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Not that people stop being Jewish or stop being Gentile, but that those distinctions don't divide us anymore. We are united in what is most important, united in Christ. And that unity in Christ is a God-given gift. It's a miracle, really. But it takes work. It takes patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. And above all, it takes love. Now, from what I know of St. Peter's Barge, you are a diverse bunch of people, which is amazing. But also united, very much united in Christ. And that's an encouragement for me to hear about. But let me encourage you not to take that unity for granted. It does take work. There might be certain people in church that you find a bit more difficult than others. Maybe you've even been someone who's been tempted not to come to church because of a particularly difficult relationship you might have with someone. There could be all kinds of reasons for that. But let me encourage you to keep working at it with God's help. As you look around this room, you are seeing your brothers and sisters in Christ, beloved brothers and sisters. There is no such thing as a lone ranger Christian. Christians stick together as brothers and sisters, no matter how different they are. And it is worth the effort to do that. Now, to make his point even clearer, Paul writes more about Epaphras in this section of the letter than he does about anyone else. And Epaphras appears to also have been a Gentile, most likely one of the Colossians himself. And that takes us to our next point, which is that Christians are to work together as fellow servants of Christ. So as we look around the room, we're not only seeing beloved brothers and sisters, we're also seeing fellow workers or fellow servants in Christ. So we're not just in the same family, spiritual family. We're also in the same line of work, you could say. Co-workers. Now, we don't all have the same role. And Paul uses the term fellow worker, especially for people taking particular responsibility in gospel ministry. But all Christians serve the same Lord. And every member has its part to play in gospel ministry. A bit like that illustration that Rob shared earlier about the England team, not just being the players on the pitch, but the whole wider team that make it all possible. But let's see how Epaphras models what being a servant of Christ should look like. See in verse 12 that he's always struggling in prayer for the Colossian Christians. He cares for his brothers and sisters enough to pray for their spiritual growth. Specifically, that they would stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. That's a great thing to pray for. And Epaphras is praying constantly. And actually, that can be a test of how much we love our brothers and sisters in Christ, is how much we pray for them. And that's certainly a challenge to me. But prayer is such a vital part of our service in the Lord. The word struggling there in verse 12 could also be striving hard or wrestling in prayer. Epaphras is clearly really eager to see his brothers and sisters growing in spiritual maturity and in their certainty about what the Lord had done for them and will do for them. You might be able to think of some particular prayer warriors here at St. Peter's Barge. But prayer for our brothers and sisters is the job of all of us, every Christian. So have a think. Which brothers and sisters could you be praying for this week? And will you remember to pray for their spiritual growth as well as for other things, maybe their physical circumstances? Epaphras works hard for his brothers and sisters in other ways too. Verse 13 shows that gospel work has not only been for the Colossians, but for the churches in Laodicea and Hierapolis too. And that was not unusual for ministers in Paul's time to minister to multiple different congregations. Churches were interconnected and interdependent. They cared for one another. They prayed for one another, supported one another. And we see loads of examples of that in the New Testament. Just like there's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian, there's also no such thing as a Lone Ranger church, a totally independent church. Just as Christians are interdependent, so are churches. And I hope you've seen that in a beautiful way in the time of vacancy that you've had here at St. Peter's Barge. I've loved looking at the preaching rota for the barge and seeing all the different people listed, representing lots and lots of different churches all around the place. Now, being a church in vacancy is not always an easy time, as I'm sure you've experienced. It comes with a lot of struggles. And I'm glad to hear that you'll soon be coming to the end of that period as Tom comes to be the senior pastor here not too long from now. But I hope and pray you'll look back on this period and thank God for the way he sustained you as a church. I've been hearing about the wonderful unity you've been having here and how the Lord has kept you all going through a long period without a senior pastor. And hopefully you'll be able to look back and praise God for the wonderful unity you've had with other churches in this time as well. And I hope that will continue to be part of who you see yourself to be as a church, connected with other like-minded churches, both within the Church of England, of course, but also with churches of other denominations that share the same convictions. Now, one particular expression of gospel partnership has been on a very local level. So my church is St. Anne's Limehouse down the road, and we have the privilege of sharing a parish, which is the Church of England patch, with you guys at the barge. And it's been really nice to have some closer collaboration in these last few months. Just as I was writing this bit of the talk, I heard someone come into the room where I was working. I turned around and I saw Jing and Fiona, your very own Jing and Fiona, coming in, our beloved sisters in Christ. And they came to join us for our Staff Plus meeting, which they've been doing regularly. And it's been such a blessing for us to have them with us. Jing always brings snacks as well, which is great. Thank you for those, Jing. And we've been encouraged by their presence with us. We've learnt from them. Hopefully they've learnt from us too. And we pray for one another's churches together. And also Richard, who's our rector or lead minister, he's been joining the elders for the elders' meetings here at the barge. Hopefully that's been an encouragement too that has gone both ways. I'm sure it has. And I just think that this is something beautiful to be celebrated. It's a biblical model when churches work together. It brings blessings and encouragements that go both ways. And that leads us to our final take-home point from this passage, that Christians are to encourage one another to grow in full maturity in Christ. That is the big goal of all of this. That is Paul's goal in his ministry. And that is why he wrote this letter to the Colossians, as we saw at the start of chapter 2. He wants to encourage them, to spur them on, to keep growing in Christ-likeness, so that their love and their unity and their godliness would live up to the identity that they had received in Christ. And to add to that encouragement, Paul sends Tychicus with this letter to encourage their hearts. We see that in verse 8. So Paul is cheering them on from afar. Tychicus is cheering them on as he visits them. And as we've already seen, Epaphras is cheering them on in a sense as he's praying earnestly for them. We pray and work so that others would grow in their faith. And for some, that growth will lead to stepping up into a distinctive gospel ministry. And those people need plenty of encouragement and spurring on from their brothers and sisters too. The last person Paul mentions is Archippus in verse 17. And he says, "Say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord." It seems that Archippus is some kind of leader or minister in that church. And Paul could have chosen to address Archippus directly. "Step up, Archippus." But instead, he asks the church family to encourage Archippus to step up and fulfill his ministry. We don't know the details of exactly what he means. But Paul knew that Archippus needed some encouragement, just like every Christian worker does. And Paul knew that the best people to encourage Archippus were his very own church family. So I wonder, which beloved brother or sister could you encourage and spur on this week? Maybe even today after the service in tea and coffee time. Who could you encourage and spur on in their walk with Jesus? Just that little bit more. Let's think through just a simple example. Later on after the service, if you're talking to someone and they share about something difficult that they might be going through, how could you respond in a way that's going to help them grow spiritually through this difficult time? There's loads of things you could say. You could say something simple like pointing them to the bigger picture of what Jesus has done and will do. You could say something like, isn't it great that one day all this suffering will be gone forever, thanks to Jesus? Helping that person to just lift their eyes up from the situation to see the bigger picture. That could be one simple thing. Or just simply saying, keep going. Keep praying. Keep trusting that the Lord is with you and that he's in control. Simple things like that are a way of encouraging and spurring on our brothers and sisters. Let me just end with one really small everyday example from last time I was here at the Barge. So last time I preached here, someone after the service came and spoke to me and said that the sermon had encouraged them to ask a friend to read the Bible together. That was something that we had discussed. I mentioned the Word one-to-one resources, which I think you have at the back, which are a great way of reading the Bible one-to-one with a friend. And I was encouraged to hear that from him. And he was then hopefully encouraged to go and do that. And actually, next time I saw this person, when we had the joint Good Friday service at St. Anne's with the Barge, I could then ask that person how it was going and continue to encourage and spur that person on to speak to their friend and open up the Bible with them. It's a small example. And I'm sure there's lots of this kind of thing going on in the church. But these things really help us to keep going and to keep growing. And we have these opportunities every time we gather as church. Remember, there's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian, or polar bear Christian, you could say. We are penguins. We need to come together in this holy huddle regularly to share the warmth of one another's encouragement and support and love before we then go out and live our lives for Jesus in the rest of the week. So let me ask you again, who could you encourage in tea and coffee time after the service today? We are not united merely because we happen to like one another. As we've learnt throughout Colossians, Christ is all and is in all. So the love and encouragement we receive from our brothers and sisters is ultimately from him. He just so often chooses to show us his love and encouragement through our brothers and sisters. That's often how he operates. But it's really his love we're receiving. He has reconciled us to God through his own blood. He has made us to be brothers and sisters and placed us together in his body. So we stick together, we serve together, and we encourage one another until we all stand mature and fully assured in the will of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he has reconciled us to yourself through his own blood. I thank you that he's reconciled us to one another too. Thank you that we have precious and beloved brothers and sisters here around us now. We thank you for the unity that you've brought about in this church and the partnership you've brought about between churches in this area. Lord, help us please to support one another and encourage one another and pray for one another. Lord, when that is difficult, help us to remember how patient you have been with us. And Lord, we pray that even today there would be conversations between us that would help encourage us and spur us on for the long term until the day we can meet you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.